The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa
and Jonathan Thompson.
In the headlines, Chairman of EC to continue his evidence in chief at Supreme Court today. Government commended for prioritizing agriculture through increased budgetary allocation. Disbursement of common fund a disadvantage to newly created districts. President Mugabe promises to abide by court ruling to hold elections in Zimbabwe before end of July. Days of nationwide unrest in Turkey leave hundreds injured. And Hezbollah fighters clash with Syrian rebels inside Lebanon. First, a summary by Jonathan Thompson.
The 2012 election challenge at the Supreme Court resumes today, with the chairman of the EC, Dr. Kwejo Afarijan, continuing his evidence in chief. In his testimonies last Thursday, the EC chairman took the opportunity to explain the electoral process to the court. The country director of Send Ghana, an NGO, George Osei Bimpe, has commended government for prioritizing agriculture, particularly through increased budgetary allocation to the sector. Speaking on GTV's current affairs program, Talking Point, Mr. Bimpe, however, raised issues with how the allocation to the sector is disbursed. Other panelists also agree with the Send director on the disbursement and called for a change in the allocation disbursement. President Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe has agreed to abide by a court ruling to hold crucial elections before the end of July, despite objections from his rivals. Mugabe accuses some members in the coalition with former opposition leader Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai of wanting to delay the elections. The Constitutional Court on Friday chided Mugabe for not calling elections linked to the dissolution of the parliament at the end of its current five-year term on 29 June. A clash between protesters and the police in Turkey is said to have left many injured. The violence, which erupted 3 days ago in Istanbul's Besiktas district, is described as one of the worst in the country. The protesters tore up pavement stones to build barricades, and the police responded with tear gas and water cannons. Meanwhile, the injured are being treated in mosques, shops and a university, which have been turned into makeshift hospitals. And an exchange of fire between Syrian rebels and the Hezbollah militant group in Lebanon has left several people dead. Hezbollah is fighting alongside the army in Syria, but the clashes have rarely crossed onto Lebanese soil since the recent clash took place on Lebanon's side of the border. Meanwhile, the office of UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has also appealed to the warring parties to allow residents to flee.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The news in detail. The chairman of the Electoral Commission, Dr. Kwejo Afarijan, will today continue giving his evidence in chief at the Supreme Court, hearing a petition challenging the validity of the 2012 election. Given testimony on his first day in the witness box last Thursday, Dr. Afarijan stated that no voting took place outside Ghana in the December 2012 general elections. He said Ghanaians working in diplomatic missions abroad, students on government scholarships, and security personnel on peacekeeping duties who were registered abroad were assigned polling stations back home to come and vote. The EC chairman, who was led in evidence by counsel for the commission, James Kwasi Aidan, explained that out of the more than 2,000 people whose names and particulars were given by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Regional Integration, only 705 were registered to vote. Dr. Afarijan, in his evidence, also took the opportunity to explain the country's entire electoral process, beginning with the registration of voters, exhibition of the provisional voters' register, printing of electoral materials, training of polling agents, and the declaration of election results. Here are excerpts of the proceedings in court last Thursday.
Let me say that there are two errors that can easily be committed at the collation center. And we call them, in election language, transposition errors. And let me tell you that some of these things have occurred. A transposition error would be, remember, you have a number of candidates, two forms of transposition errors. my scores have been entered against another candidate, and maybe that some other candidate's scores have been entered against me. That would be a transposition error. Particularly if care is not taken in arranging the candidates. If the candidates are not arranged in the same way on the collation form as they are arranged on the polling station form, that is the pink sheet, it could easily give rise to a transposition error. But one form of transposition error is the exchange. No, A's results have been given to B, and B's results have been given to A. It's a transposition error. Another transposition error that can occur at the collation center is taking the score from the pink sheet onto the collation sheet, and that one also occurs. Maybe let's say the number is 11,000, and then he puts 1,100. That would be another transposition error. So when we do the training, we tell people to watch out for the possibility of transposition errors. You know, we have seen them where they have resulted in the defeat of candidates who should have won the election.
Chairman of the Electoral Commission, Dr. Kwejo Afarijan.
Government has been commended for prioritizing agriculture, particularly through increased budget allocation to the sector. The commendation was given by Send Ghana on GTV's current affairs program, Talking Point. The country director of Send Ghana, George Osebimpe, however, raised issues with how the allocation to the sector is disbursed. Mr. Bimpe insisted that government's goodwill for the sector will not be recognized if proper steps are not taken in the disbursement of funds in the sector.
What is happening is that in terms of the investment and going by the Maputo framework, government has done well, and we need to commend government because we are saying that they have achieved about 11.7% at least the last year. 11.7% of national budgetary resources are going into agriculture. But there is a big but, because what we have seen is that of that huge sums of money, almost 60% is going into personal emolument. So we realize that we haven't made any substantial change in terms of always making sure that the money goes into paying salaries and so on and so forth. So the actual investment that is supposed to benefit the farmer, if you may call it underground benefits to farmer, is not happening. Then we have taken certain programs that are ongoing, the Youth in Agriculture Program, the Root and Tuber Program, the Northern Development Program, to also look at who is benefiting and what are the gender implications and so on and so forth. What is coming out is that in terms, for example, if you take a program like the Youth in Agriculture Program, you notice that we are missing the point. We are missing the point in terms of not being able to attract young people. How can somebody who is 64, for example, call himself a youth, and that person is a beneficiary of this program? If you look at the gender dimension of it, you notice that in all these programs, depending on the district, the particular district, between 65 to 80, or sometimes 90% of beneficiaries are men. One major disconnect that you find is the way some of the district assemblies also do their budget planning.
As the country director of Send Ghana, George Osebimpe, the president of the National Farmers and Fishermen Award Winners Association, Philip Abayori, also shares Send Ghana's views on the disbursement of agri-sector budget and calls for a change in the way things are done in the area. Mr. Abayori adds that farmers do not have any investment options, which largely affect their work. He calls for the strengthening of farmer-based organizations.
African countries realized that there was no growth in the sector, and that being small-scale dominant agricultural systems, they need to upscale the sector so that at least they can bring out people from poverty and also attract the youth into agriculture. But you heard to say it is not happening. And why it's not happening is very simple. The amount of money that is being put across stays where it's supposed to pay workers and also to be able to strengthen the sector. That is good, because if they don't strengthen themselves, they cannot. But what is not happening is the fiscal practical investment for the farmer to be able to adopt, to purchase technology. CSIR, they put the technology there. Perhaps you see that they have developed. It's not for free. At the end of the day, the seed must be multiplied. There should be money to multiply enough of the seed to reach the farmer. If the seed is not multiplied, though they have tested the seed, it is okay. Nobody can get that seed. Now, secondly, the farmer gets the seed. The farmer has to plant a certain plant population on the ground to be able to get a yield. Now, because there are the farmer does not have that capacity to purchase that technology, he plants little of the seed. He will still be at where he's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, finance. So what all this is about is that we need to change the way we do things. If we are applying a youth and agriculture program, as you have said, 65 and 70% are years old, what you need to do is you work with existing farmer-based organizations. And those farmer-based organizations are the people that at least the youth will emulate, saying that they are making some improvement. And strengthening them will be that the farmer-based organizations will be able to contribute a little money, go to CSR support to be able to get the seeds, I mean them to expand the seed that they are developing so that at the end of the day it can get to the farmers. We are prepared to contribute, but the issue is that the partnership should be holistic so that at the end of the day we can see the benefit on the ground.
Silva Bayeri is the president of the National Farmers and Fishermen Award Winners Association of Ghana.
The MP for Wale Wale, Dr. Sagre Bambangi, has called on government to pay proper attention to newly created districts so as to equip them adequately to address the developmental challenges they face. He said although the creation of new districts is in the right direction, lack of adequate research in the process leaves these new districts handicapped. He cited the formula used for the distribution of the Common Fund as an example of a process that places newly created districts at a disadvantage. He explained further in this interview with Augustus Akwe.
The depth of data in these districts make them use second best proxies. You know, they use estimates that are not the best. For instance, if you take population, if a district B is carved out of district A, because they don't have update population data, they will simply divide the population of that district by two and then use that in the formula. Then when it comes to, let's say, total population ratio, then they will simply also divide the number of doctors in the district by two. So it is possible for you to have a newly created district that has no single doctor, reported to have two or three or more doctors. And it's the same with nurses, the same with teachers, and all these things are supposed to reflect on the need of that newly created district so that they can allocate more resources to them to develop, to attract these people.
Are you trying to say that there is a rush in the demarcation or the creation of new districts?
I am not against the creation of new districts, but I'm just saying that if you produce a child, you must be ready to feed the child. So if you create a new district, you must work up to date to have all the information on that district.
Dr. Bambangi also called for closer collaboration between the district assemblies and the Ghana Statistical Service so that realistic data can be used in resource allocation to remedy the situation.
I was looking for a publication from the Ghana Statistical Service that is normally entitled Population by Localities, and is supposed to have come out of the 2010 census publications. It is not yet ready. If it were ready, we would simply look at all the communities that belong to the new district and isolate them from the communities that belong to the older district. And in that case, we would have known their population. It is possible for a new district to have half of the population of the older district, or the new district has two times the population of the older district, and yet they will divide them equally. It is possible that the new district has no single doctor, and yet if there were six doctors in the older district, they will divide it by two, and it will be represented that they have three doctors each. You see the problem? It is the same with all the facilities. That is what they do, and that is what fed the common fund allocation that we have just dealt with. And I do not blame the common fund administrator, because he didn't have the statistics. So that is why I was recommending collaboration between the district assemblies and the Ghana Statistical Service so that they can do some special exercise on these districts. If they do, then they will be able to come out with these correct statistics. I sympathize with my sister district, Mampurugu Mogoduri, that is Kobori area. They don't have a single doctor, but the statistics simply divided the number of doctors in West Mampusi district by two. And it was assumed that they have two doctors. And they simply divided the number of teachers in the district by two. But all these things feed into the common fund allocation. When it comes to population two, we may have twice their population, but they have equal numbers with us. And that also would favor them. But I think it is better we get the statistics right so that these districts will have their fair share of the national cake.
You heard the MP for Walewale, Dr. Sagre Bambangi.
Volta Regional Minister Nilaya Futiagbo has urged public officers to go to the extreme to give the people maximum comfort. He gave the advice when he inaugurated a 690,000 cedi regional office complex for the National Health Insurance Authority in Ho. He urged young people in high office to give off their best in challenging situations. Mr. Afutiagbo therefore urged public officers serving in the health sector to recognize the sensitive nature of their calling and strive to give quality care to the people. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Chairman of EC to continue his evidence in chief at Supreme Court today. Government commended for prioritizing agriculture through increased budgetary allocation. Disbursement of common fund a disadvantage to newly created districts. President Mugabe promises to abide by court ruling to hold elections in Zimbabwe before end of July. Days of nationwide unrest in Turkey leave hundreds injured, and Hezbollah fighters clash with Syrian rebels inside Lebanon.
The moderator of the Presbyterian Church of Ghana, Right Reverend Professor Emmanuel Mate, has warned Christians to be cautious of charlatans who pose as pastors to deceive and extort monies from them. These charlatans, he noted, are bringing Christianity and the name of God into disrepute. Reverend Professor Mate was speaking at the commissioning of 31 new ministers of the Presbyterian Church in Accra. He advised the newly commissioned ministers not to be pastors after worldly material, but to be committed to their calling to serve humanity. Victoria Haji and Naamumu Okasa have filed this report.
The newly ordained ministers underwent three-year studies at the Trinity Theological Seminary. They were taken through series of academic work such as Greek, Hebrew philosophy, biblical studies, and law. Right Reverend Marty expressed worry about the attitude of many ministers who do not preach the word of God, but rather concentrate on how to make money from the congregation. He described this materialistic attitude as a betrayal to what Christ teaches. He asked Christians to stand firm in the faith and study the word of God to overcome these charlatans. Right Reverend Mate also expressed worry about cultural prejudice, which he said is dividing people and societies.
Do you like other people from other tribes, or you are bigot? Listen to some political leaders, how they talk. Listen to some church leaders, what they say, and look at how they behave. A minister will not be ashamed coming from a particular tribe. And we announce immediately after church service, I want to meet all that will mention the tribe. Look, already you are bringing division. Division in the church. In Christ, there is no Jew, no Gentile, no Dan, no Akan, no Kotokuli, and no ever.
A representative of the newly ordained ministers, Gilbert Miwanugwe, said they are ready to take up the responsibility of increasing the church's population and ensuring its growth. He stressed the need for ministers of God to use their pulpit to educate their members on the need to bridge any gaps the 2012 elections may have created.
Reverend Moderator, we are being commissioned at a time when our dear nation Ghana appears to be more polarized along political lines than it used to be, especially before the 2012 general election. We, as ministerial provisioners now to be commissioned, are not oblivious that the church has a stake in helping to build a unified nation. Hence, with the grace of the Almighty God, we endeavor to partner with our senior colleagues already on the field to fulfill this quest. We believe that the church must continue to remain the moral conscience of the society.
In a goodwill message, the president of the Trinity Theological Seminary, Reverend Dr. Joseph Obri Yeboah-Mante, asked the ministers to be faithful, humble, and enthusiastic in order to excel in their ministry.
That was a report by Victoria Haji and Namumu Okasa.
Some unemployed youth in the Kwai Viburim and Denchenbor districts in the eastern region have rejected the opportunity offered them to be revenue collectors. They say their remunerations are too small and have thus resorted to illegal mining, popularly called galamsey, which they say gives them more money. More than 100 youths who were employed with the two district assemblies left the job unexpectedly. The Kwai Viburim District Chief Executive Reginald Ijariosai and his counterpart from Denchenbor, Kwekufori Abrokwa, said the situation is adversely affecting the two assemblies since their outfits were unable to raise revenue to embark on more developmental projects. The Eastern Regional Minister, Ellen Ntosu, who visited the two districts on a familiarization tour, said the situation is worrying and needs immediate attention. She asked the two assemblies to immediately form a galamsey task force and organize frequent swoops on the illegal miners.
A minister of state at the presidency, Fifi Kwete, has urged traditional leaders to revive progressive customs and traditions and avoid the obnoxious ones. Mr. Kwete made the call at the first anniversary of the late Togbi Sachimanja Afare at Kliko in the Ketu South District of the Volta region. He commended the chiefs and people of Kliko for their commitment to the development of the area. He advised them to collaborate with government through the district assembly in their developmental efforts. He also called on the youth to eschew indiscipline and immorality, since these will wreck the country. The newly installed chief, Togbi Sachimanja Afare, known in private life as Albert Afaglo, pledged his support to raise educational standards in the area.
Members of the Futu Municipal Assembly in the central region over the weekend failed to elect a presiding member after two rounds of balloting. The two contestants failed to obtain the two-thirds of the votes required for winning. The incumbent presiding member, Very Reverend Eldad Boni, polled 17 votes, representing 62%, while Assembly member for Tufuhini Electoral Area, Joseph Silva, obtained 9 votes, representing 32% during the first round. Another round of election will be held within 2 weeks to decide a winner.
On the foreign front, 22 inmates have escaped the main prison in Niger's capital, Niamey, during an attack by suspected Islamist militants. Justice Minister Maru Amadou confirmed that 3 guards had been killed in last Saturday's prison break. He said weapons had been smuggled into the jail and some of the escapees were prisoners facing terrorism charges. It comes days after Islamists claimed 2 twin suicide attacks on a military base and uranium mine, killing 25 people. The Movement for Unity and Jihad in West Africa, Mujayu, and an Al-Qaeda affiliate group, the Signed in Blood Battalion, said the attacks were retaliation for Niger's military intervention in Mali, which drove them out from the north earlier this year.
Thousands of protesters have demonstrated in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa, to demand the release of jailed journalists and activists. Demonstrators shouted slogans calling for freedom and justice. The protests were organized by the opposition Semayawi Party. Party chairman Yilekal Getachew said apart from the release of the prisoners, the demonstrators also wanted action on unemployment, inflation and corruption in the country. It is the first major demonstration on the streets of the capital since 2005, when hundreds of protesters were killed in violence. Ethiopia's Prime Minister Hailemariam Desalegn took office in September 2012 following the death of Meles Zenawi. The Committee to Protect Journalists says Ethiopia is close to replacing Eritrea as the African country with the most journalists behind bars.
Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe says he will abide by a court ruling to hold crucial elections before the end of July, despite objections from his rivals. Mugabe accuses some members in a coalition with former opposition leader Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai of wanting to delay the elections. The Constitutional Court on Friday chided Mugabe for not calling elections linked to the dissolution of the parliament at the end of its current five-year term on the 29th of this month. Mr. Tsvangirai said electoral and democratic reforms demanded under the coalition agreement and the new constitution cannot be completed by 31st July. Mr. Tsvangirai's party said yesterday that unless reforms to voters' lists and the registration of new voters are in place before voting, there would be doubt over whether conditions allowed for a free and fair election. 7 out of 9 Constitutional Court judges ruled on Friday that Mugabe violated his constitutional responsibilities by failing to declare polls by 29th June.
Egypt's highest court has ruled that the nation's Islamist-dominated legislature and constitutional panel were illegally elected, dealing a serious blow to the legal basis of the Islamist hold on power. The ruling by the Supreme Constitutional Court says that the legislature's upper house, the only one currently sitting, would not be dissolved until the parliament's lower chamber is elected later this year or early in 2014. The constitutional panel has already dissolved after completing the charter.
A number of people have been killed in an exchange of fire between Syrian rebels and fighters from the Lebanese militant group Hezbollah. Lebanese security sources said the clashes took place on Lebanon's side of the border near the town of Baalbek. Hezbollah is fighting alongside the army in Syria, and the clashes have rarely crossed onto Lebanese soil. Meanwhile, the Red Cross says it is alarmed by the worsening situation in the besieged Syrian town of Qusair. It has appealed for access to the town, which lies just 6 miles over the Lebanese border. Thousands of civilians are believed to be trapped as pro-government forces, including Hezbollah fighters, battle rebels. The office of UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has also appealed to the warring parties to allow residents to flee.
Turkish protesters have clashed with police in Istanbul's Beşiktaş district in some of the worst violence since unrest erupted 3 days ago. Mosques, shops and a university have been turned into makeshift hospitals to deal with the injured. Protesters tore up pavement stones to build barricades and police responded with tear gas and water cannons. Protests were sparked by plans to build on an Istanbul park but have broadened into nationwide anti-government unrest. Officials say more than 1,700 people were arrested during protests in 67 towns and cities, though many have since been released.
Fire at a poultry processing plant in China has killed at least 55 people. The fire broke out at a slaughterhouse in Dehui in Jilin province early this morning. Rescue operations are still underway. State broadcaster CCTV says the fire was caused by an electrical fault.
And in football, Kumasi Asantekotoko's quest to win a double this season remains on course after the Porcupine Warriors yesterday booked a place in the finals of the MTN FA Cup. Kotoko beat Tema Bay's side Amidal's Professionals by 3-1 in the semi-finals of the competition at the Accra Sports Stadium. Skipper of Amidal's Yaya Mohammed opened the scoring through a thunderbolt strike in the 17th minute, but striker Ransford Osei equalized for the Porcupine Warriors 6 minutes later. Striker Kofi Ntibuachi puts Kotoko ahead for the first time when he easily tapped in a pass from Richard Impong in the 32nd minute. Amidal's Professionals showed a glimpse of promise up front in the second half but proved futile. Kotoko's marksman Ransford Osei in the 90th minute scored his second goal to seal victory for the Porcupine Warriors. In the other semi-final match, Hearts of Oak's dream of annexing a silverware this season hit a rock as they lost 1-2 to Takwa Bay's side Midyama SC at the Babayara Sports Stadium in Kumasi. The results mean Asante Kotoko will face Midyama SC in the grand finale in Accra.
Now to end the news and main points again. The 2012 election challenge at the Supreme Court resumes today with the chairman of the EC, Dr. Kwejafarijan, continuing his evidence in chief. In his testimony last Thursday, the EC chairman took the opportunity to explain the electoral process to the court. The country director of Send Ghana, an NGO, George Osebempe, has commended government for prioritizing agriculture, particularly through increased budgetary allocation to the sector. speaking on GTV's current affairs program Talking Point. Mr. Bempe, however, raised issue with how the allocation to the sector is disbursed. President Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe has agreed to abide by a court ruling to hold crucial elections before the end of July, despite objections from his rivals. He has accused some members in a coalition with former opposition leader Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai of wanting to delay the elections. And a clash between protesters and the police in Turkey is said to have left many injured. The violence, which erupted 3 days ago in Istanbul's Besiktas district, is described as one of the worst in the country. The news was presented by Samuel Essa
and Jonathan Thompson in Accra.